hello and welcome to After the Sermon. This is a Bethany exclusive podcast that we do specifically to help us dig deeper into Sunday messages and also to wrestle those hard topics. I am Tammy DeLau and I'm joined with Parker Robbie and Pastor Billy. And we are going to share a little bit of Parker's message. He is going to be digging deep with us and helping us understand why we are a church that desires to passionately engage. So with that, Parker, I'm just going to kind of let you give us a little flyover on your sermon and what you're going to be sharing with us.
So flyover 10,000 feet of the message. It's a second part of the Engage kind of part of the Passionately series that we've been in. And so one of the things that Bethany is passionate about is engaging our community and our state and our world, the communities that we live in, the circles we find ourselves in. And so we're passionate about that. And what does that mean? And and so I'm kind of following up from what Billy was talking about with Acts 1:8 and Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. And that's kind of a command verse. But is the ultimate place where we find the call to engage our communities, to engage our world, is the ultimate place where we find that in Scripture? Is that from a command or from a passage talking about compassion and seeing that the fields are white for harvest? Is that where we get the command from? And is that really the end all be all of missions? And I don't think that's the case. And so what I'm trying to do in this sermon is just to show us that God is a initiating, he's a going God. He comes to us out of his fullness. He's not compelled forward because we're really awesome, but out of his fullness of joy and his fullness of love, he moves towards us. And time again throughout Scripture, we see God moving towards us, whether that be in creation. We didn't cause him to create us. He creates us for relationship. And then even when mankind starts to rebel against him and move down the path away from God, what's the character of God? What does he do? Well, he comes after us.
I was really surprised just a little bit that we've talked about it in preaching team, because I understood compassion and I understand command, but just this extra that you're adding to, I think you're absolutely right, but was very challenged by that. And so even as you go through and share just the different scriptures where we see God coming to his people, I know one of our girl group questions is, do you have a favorite Bible story where you see God coming to you? So curious, Parker, do you have a favorite one in Scripture?
Oh, favorite. I'm going to get to mention a bunch of them. I mean, probably my favorite, the clearest to me of God moving after us and coming towards us, probably something to do with the Exodus. But probably my favorite moment in that is when God literally moves into the neighborhood in the tabernacle. Like he says that his holy place is going to be with man. And one of the little pictures of that is how the burning bush of Moses. So the bush is burning and it doesn't burn up. And in the same sense, he's going to dwell with Israel. The consuming fire is going to dwell with Israel, and Israel's not going to burn. It's not going to perish. It's going to be have the presence of God with them, but it's not going to burn and be destroyed. So God's presence dwells with Israel. And so that's God moving towards them, initiating relationship with them and giving them his presence. That's really cool to
awesome.
Me.
Do you have a favorite one?
Yeah, I kind of laugh because the question as is written says favorite story of God moving towards a people group. And for some reason, mine went to the Canaanites.
Really?
Because you got to think about it, and it's not in such a positive way for them. But he like literally started coming towards them and was saying, "Hey, you know, we're going to take over this land," and his will was going to be done. It just kind of made me chuckle a little bit, kind of thinking of it. So I don't know why that was the first one that came to my mind, but it really was. Probably my favorite though is the story of Abraham, right, and just the people of Israel, which came out of, you know, Abraham and his lineage. It makes no sense to us in our human perspective. Here's this guy from the middle of nowhere, you know, Chaldean, I think is what he was, from the land of Oz or something.
Babylon.
Babylon. And so here it is this this guy who just kind of was a Joe Schmo, right? And even later in his life, God comes to him and gives him this vision that, hey, he's going to do this remarkable work through him. And then he builds this people group from scratch, the Israelites, and And, you know, it's kind of interesting. I think you could probably look at the positive thing, things that the Israelites brought, you know, that they had this law and that they were kind of stewards of it, you know, over mm-hmm. and over again. But to me, they kind of remind me of all people groups, right? Mm-hmm. Like we're just kind of lost without anything. We can't do anything on our own. And it goes to Parker's point, you know, mm-hmm. that he is self-sufficient. He does not need us, mm-hmm. right? We are so unlovable, right? Mm-hmm. If you want to say it that way. Mm-hmm. But yet in spite of that, he still loves us mm-hmm. and wants to take care of us and wants to bring us into his fold. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty remarkable. And if you think about it too, and going to the New Testament, you have Abraham, and it says, just as Abraham had faith, we too can be a part of the lineage of mm-hmm. Abraham, mm-hmm. which pretty cool.
Well, man, I wish I would have gone first, because I was for sure thinking the Exodus story, because that's what I'm studying with the ladies here at church. And I'm like, oh, Parker said that. Okay, I'm going to go to Abraham. And then you grabbed Abraham. So I would be right with you guys as far as just seeing, you know, God.
Sorry to steal your thunder.
Yeah, God coming to a people. I know oftentimes when we do mission sermons, people kind of shut down. It's kind of like, I don't want to go there. Maybe even we'll miss church because, you know, mm-hmm. that's not where their heart is. I think knowing you two and seeing the passion that you two have for missions, it's very fun. I think even where we are right now in our church, and there are people that may feel sadness because we're in a transition, to have the two of you be so excited about what God has for us and how he wants to use us in our community and in our world. So I know one of the questions that we're going to ask people is favorite mission trip, or have you been on a mission trip? I know both of you have spent a ton of time serving. Do you have a favorite mission?
Oh man, I've been on a number of trips.
How many mission trips?
Yeah, that's what we should ask. How many?
I don't know, 13 maybe.
Wow.
13, 14.
So did your parents take you on mission trips as a small child?
Is this nope.
Okay.
Started in high school.
Okay.
Started in high school and did a couple to South America and then Central America, and then started I've been one to Europe and 8 to Thailand and Laos. And so they all just kinda add up. I don't know if I could pick a favorite, but I'll just tell you real quick my favorite thing about mission trips.
Okay.
I would offend too many people who have been on teams with me if I didn't pick their trip.
Okay.
And so my favorite thing about mission trips is the number one, being able to help the long-term workers in places that don't have the gospel. Mm-hmm. That's my first priority and what I love about it. I get to go help people who are taking the gospel to people that don't have it, and I get to encourage them and pray for them and love them and assist them in some way. Mm-hmm. But my favorite thing for us, whoever's on the trip with me, is it's a chance for us to get away from our problems and from the way we see the world and into a different people group, into a different culture, the way the culture sees the world, but also the way the Christians view the Christian culture and how their Christian culture views their world and their problems. And mm-hmm. being able to see that and see other Christians and the hearts that they have for their own people group. I mean, obviously trips can be a lot of fun and can be life-changing for a number of reasons, but I think the biggest life change I've seen in people that I've brought over with me on trips is the power of a different people group's faith, their mm-hmm. faith in Christ, and their desire to impact the world with their faith. And they have so much less than us, but their view of the world and their view of what God can do in their lives and the world is way bigger than ours.
Wow.
But they have way less resources, and they have way less things in their language, all the books that we have, all the resources, all the speakers, all the everything. And they think God can change the world through them. Mm-hmm. And we're just, you know, maybe God can change my life, my kid's life, but everyone else around me, it's kind of between you and God. But the people over in different countries, they think, oh man, God can change the world through us.
Okay.
That's pretty cool.
So they see, it sounds like you're saying they see a bigger God than we see.
Maybe.
Okay. Or have greater faith.
Wow. Yeah.
Mm. That's pretty powerful.
Yeah, how about you, Billy?
I've been on several, lots of in-state, several, two outside of the states, Jamaica and one in Mexico. All of them had a sweetness about them, and I did all of those with teenagers too. Mm. And it's just really cool to see, you know, people interact with people of different cultures, maybe mm-hmm. see something that they've never been able to see. And I can't really pinpoint one. Jamaica was pretty cool to be able to, even though Jamaica was interesting going into it, we weren't sure what we were getting into because it's one of the most heavily populated Christian places in the world, mm-hmm. But there's such severe poverty, mm-hmm. right? And there's a lot of false religions too, is what we would describe mm-hmm. them as. So going into that, we were really unsure what we were going to get into, but man, seeing the teenagers just mobilize was mm-hmm. pretty powerful. Mm-hmm. And kind of going back to something you said a while ago is like people who might have that stigma, like, oh, missions, you know, it's not my heartbeat, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I really would just challenge that mindset, you know, and maybe they had a bad experience mm-hmm. on missions, and that's okay, right? And I would say don't write it off completely mm-hmm. Because of that, because it is such the heartbeat of God. Mm-hmm. And I think it's something the Holy Spirit wants us all to be a part of. Mm-hmm. Because if we cut off missions from the gospel narrative, that mm-hmm. God sent his son so that we might too be sent, it's kind of a cheap gospel in a way.
Absolutely. It's a dead end.
It's a dead end.
That is just about me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just about me and my life and my direct community mm-hmm. instead of being am I a dead end or am I a freeway of God's blessings and mm-hmm. God's yeah. grace to the world? Mm-hmm. Is it just about what's happening in my life and my discipleship and my holiness? Mm-hmm. Or is it about taking the good news to everybody?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think we're freeways, not cul-de-sacs.
I would say to that person too, like, ask yourself, man, have I felt like there's been something missing with my passion and my zeal for the Lord? And I would say, maybe that's it. I know it's kind of stark and stuff, but mm-hmm. but I don't know, just getting around the opportunity to tell people who might not ever hear the name of Jesus or because you didn't go or be a part of that, who knows what could have happened. I mean, the Bible says that very mm-hmm. clearly, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's such an importance and an urgency to us sharing our faith and sharing what God has given us, mm-hmm. whether it be with the goods we're giving, with the wealth we're given, mm-hmm. or even just a smile on our face. Mm-hmm. There's something about that I think is, I've just seen it time and time again, that mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit just starts radiating from people, and it's pretty powerful.
That's cool. Well, I have a friend who had a young man who went on a mission trip with you, and it was a super cool experience. They went, mother and son, and came back. And during COVID, this mama was specifically feeling really bad because it was her boy's senior year, and mm-hmm. just really wrestling with, man, this isn't what I would want. Mm-hmm. And his response was, after being where you had taken them, I don't remember what country you were in.
It was Jamaica.
His response was, I have nothing to complain about. And so I know mm-hmm. we want it to be a freeway and not in and of ourselves, but God also teaches us things too. So that it made a huge difference in his senior year being a COVID year and life being shut down. Because he had experienced seeing others live a different life than what we have here as Americans.
Yeah, so. It gets you. It mm-hmm. really does. And mm-hmm. I saw a lot of those barriers break down for teenagers and adults, mm-hmm. right? It's not just teenagers need a entitlement check. Okay. Like we all do. Right?
Mm-hmm. So God is having you guys put these trips together and you're excited and you're passionate about it and you feel this from people, what do you think stops us from wanting to jump on that ship? What are our excuses?
I personally think it's a fear of the unknown.
Okay.
Right. And what's going to happen, and putting a lot of trust in other people. Mm-hmm. But I think maybe people aren't intentionally saying, I don't trust God to take me to this place and stuff. Maybe they don't trust themselves and their capabilities too. Mm-hmm. All of it kind of, revolves around fear of mm-hmm. some kind. And I dealt with that with a lot of teenagers, mm-hmm. right? And it's kind of interesting. I would say most of the time, the teenager is more fearful than the parents a lot of times, depending on the age and the situation. Mm-hmm. But I've witnessed that time and time again where teenagers are like, no, I'm not doing that. And they just, it's so hard for them to overcome it because mm-hmm. all the what ifs are going to go through their heads. Mm-hmm. And I get that. I understand it. But what's interesting is when that person goes, whoever they are, it's amazing because God really wants to use that person mm-hmm. because how much more glory is God going to get from using that person who is just so gripped with fear, mm-hmm. right? And he starts breaking barriers down. But I don't know about you, Parker. Have you experienced that before?
Well, I mean, just thinking about like what my brain was just going with that original question. What has maybe caused people to get to the place of being
resistant?
Reserved about missions? I think many of us, and this is a trade that we're all asked to make in some sense, by our culture and by our world and by ourselves, we trade away the satisfaction of being on mission for a big God for the comfort of a small God in a small world.
Okay.
And so when you make the trade of, I would rather have comfort and I'd rather understand all that God's going to ask me to do and know pretty much my life beforehand, we choose comfort and we choose to have kind of a small God, and he's not going to ask me to do whatever with my life. He's not going to take me away from my dreams and my hopes. That's comfortable. But when we do that, we trade away the satisfaction of being with God on a real mission. Mm-hmm. And like the real soldiers who get real missions to go to, well, maybe not Afghanistan anymore, but mm-hmm. My brother's been to the Philippines and Indonesia and all mm-hmm. sorts of things. When you accept the call of God, or even the call of a government to go on a mission, we get that satisfaction of actually doing something with our lives. And mm-hmm. I think many of us miss out. We feel that lack of satisfaction. Like, what's the purpose of my life? What am I doing? What's the goal of this whole thing? Well, I think that's many times because we've traded away the big God who has a big mission for our lives and a big mission for the world for a small God who at least makes me comfortable. And so maybe that's part of it. Okay. I don't want to accuse people of having a small God, but if your God is not able to call you to go anywhere with your life and do anything, mm-hmm. well, that sounds kind of small to me mm-hmm. compared to the biblical God who calls people and takes them and sends them everywhere around mm-hmm. the whole world. And yeah. so,
you have to ask the question why, right? Mm-hmm. You know, David Platt, who's arguably one of the most famous guys in the mission world. I was kind of amazed at his story. He was like this close to going to the mission field and someone said, no, I want to use, you should be utilized to get missionaries on the mission field.
Mobilize, yeah.
To mobilize. Mm-hmm. And he's very good at it.
Yep.
But that was his why, right? He's very much living in that purpose, like you're saying. Now, is God big enough to use him where he's at? And that isn't impossible for someone here in La Crosse. But I think if you never ask the question, why not me? Or what is going on and what is my bigger purpose here? Mm-hmm. And like you yeah. said, if it's just to be satisfied with myself and all my comforts and not be satisfied in God, then you're not in the right why, I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. Right. And like I said, we don't want to pinpoint people, but it yeah. is an important question, I think, to ask people.
So you both are raising children, and I don't know that I know any two men who have a heart for missions the way both of you do. What are you going to do to help your babies not have the same fear that you're seeing in teenagers, or the same not knowing how big God really is?
I think I want to show Ellis that that there is a huge and awesome plan that he could give his life to.
Okay.
There's a huge and awesome mission, huge and awesome task, and that he could end up doing anything from mm-hmm. computer programming to here in the States, or church planting in Zimbabwe, like anything in the middle, like mm-hmm. anything in there, here overseas can fit in that. But I want to show him that there is a problem in the world that needs to be dealt with, and that's sin and mm-hmm. unbelief and rejection of God. And if we can give our lives to mm-hmm. being ministers of reconciliation, that is a huge, big, lofty goal mm-hmm. and a dream to live for. And so I want Ellis to see that mm-hmm. there's something bigger than just cul-de-sac Christianity and being just me and God. There's okay. something bigger, and so I want to show him that.
Okay, and how will you do that?
I want to, in many ways, I want to get him over and see the world.
Okay.
But even if he doesn't go on a trip, I want him to see Scripture.
Okay.
I want him to see that God is not just commanding him to go. Yeah, that's true, but mm-hmm. God is a goer. And mm-hmm. so if you're going to be a Christ follower, well, then we should be willing and able and mm-hmm. excited to do whatever God asks mm-hmm. us to do. And so if he can't go and see the world, that's fine. He's got a Bible mm-hmm. and that's even better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's yeah. great. And I love this question. And, you know, as I'm thinking about as Parker was talking, you know, I'm just thinking of how interesting my kids are. And I think all kids are. They just, I don't know, they just see the world through fresh eyes and, mm-hmm. and it's just a beautiful thing. And I remember the first time my son went to school, he was in the Montessori here, and he'd been hearing a lot of things, you know, preaching and just the Awana stuff. And he was putting a lot of things together. And one day in class, he stands up and he says, hey, if you don't believe in Jesus, you're going to hell. Oh, and the teacher was like, "Whoa, this is public school." And he's like, "Y'all need Jesus, all right?" And he just sat back down. And I was like,
"He stole your notes."
He stole my notes. It was that simple for him. But I mean, he and I had this conversation with him. I was like, "Hey, man, you know, maybe build some relationship there and stuff." And that's, it's nothing bad that what you did there and stuff, you know, time and place and everything. But what made you do that? And he's like, I started thinking and I started looking around. These are my friends and I don't want them to not be with Jesus. And I was just like, wow, you know, and here's the thing, like, that's it. That's someone living on mission. That's someone living on purpose. That's someone who wants to help others be reconciled to Jesus Christ. He doesn't know everything and see everything, but he sees the big picture. Right. And so my son and my daughters, I really, my hope for them is that they see that mission is here, there, and everywhere. What we tend to do in our American comforts is it's easy to focus on and hear and assume everyone knows. And if there's anything I could teach them, and there's lots of ways to do this, just like Parker said, and, you know, getting them out there to see the world, get them into different multi-ethnic groups, because that's what heaven is going to be like. It's going to be multi-ethnic groups together, serving and worshiping God together. And that's going to be beautiful. And don't, you know, I think we have this mindset that we don't want to preach at our kids. And I get it, right? No one wants to be preached at by their parents. But there's one of those things, like, if mom and dad, if you're living on mission, they're going to catch it. I mean, if my five-year-old son, he was 5 years old at that time, if he could get that at that age, you know, they can get it later on too. But don't grow stagnant. Live your faith audaciously. Don't bury your talents in the ground and be willing to let God take you anywhere. And trust me, people will follow that.
Well, I don't have as many going on mission trip stories as the two of you, but I did spend a summer in Virginia Beach. I was, Andy and I were Campus Crusade kids. And so I spent a summer in Virginia Beach, and I did not like the evangelizing time. That was really, really hard for me. I'm, as you know, much more relational and would rather have the relationship than the cold, you know, do you know God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life kind of situation. But I needed to do it, and I'm obedient, so I did what needed to be done. And I'll never forget the first time that I sat down with a young woman, and we were talking about Christmas and Easter. And in her mind, Christmas was nothing more than Santa Claus, nor Easter more than the Easter Bunny. And I realized there's a world that doesn't know. It's just so easy when you're surrounded with believers, or you grow up in a church, to think, well, everybody knows this, but we live in a world that everybody doesn't know. So I'm excited that your baby knew the truth of Scripture. I have a friend, some dear friends of ours, and the daddy and mama were very serious about Bible time with their kids, and they would read through the Bible and talk about things. And one time her and I think it was Cody were in a sandbox, and they're digging and they're playing, and they had gone through the Old Testament where they're told, you will eat your own waste, and you're, and so she looked at Caleb and, or I think it was Cody, and said, well, if you love Jesus, you need to eat your own. And so she was pretty sure that was what a Christian was. So good for your baby. I'm glad that he's got that figured out. So
we didn't cover that one.
We didn't. Yes. It was so funny. It was like, oh my goodness. So that's very sweet that our children are watching and they are listening.
They're picking
and,
up a lot.
They are. Well, I know we are a church that desires to engage. You've got some stuff coming up, guys, engage-wise. What do we have coming up for our body?
Yeah, there's lots of things in the pipeline. We're still trying to put a lot of pieces together. But with the refugees specifically, we've been talking a lot about, you know, how to engage them more. I'll be talking this Sunday more about what is coming up with this. We have a training on the 30th. One of our missionaries, Matt Klein, who has just been an amazing networker in our area. He's been back into this region. He's going to do a training on how to witness to Muslims, how to have a gospel conversation with them. And even on top of that, too, just how to interact with Muslims, what's culturally appropriate to them and what might come off offensive. Just practically in that sense, he has many years. I think it's over 10 years working with Muslim people in Turkey. So this is going to be a great time. If you're excited about the opportunities we have, more than likely, I've heard that we're going to get somewhere around 2,000 refugees, Afghan refugees staying in this region. So this will be great opportunity for you to get to know. And we have our Hmong population, believe it or not, is right around that same number. So if you say like, hey, I see people who have the Hmong background pretty often, then think of it in a way with the Afghan refugees. You will have more than likely about the same, maybe more, maybe a little less interaction with them. So there is just a huge gospel opportunity there.
Mm-hmm. So that's on the 30th?
That's on the 30th of October.
How many hours? How long?
It's going to be from 11 to 1. Okay. We will provide lunch. It'll be a free lunch for everyone, either Jimmy John's or pizza. You could sign up online. We're asking everyone to let us know if you're coming just so that we can prepare for that. And there's also another way to get on the base. We do have a way to get on the base now and to work with Catholic Charities and a whole bunch of different groups. And what they're kind of doing is they're setting up like women's groups there to help them learn English and sewing. And then they're doing things for children, and they're doing things for, hopefully they're trying to build something for teenagers and men as well, kind of like community groups. So if like, hey, I would love to be a part of that, we have a way to get you on. It is a vetting process, you know, and if you have questions, if it's a good fit for you, we'd love to talk to you about that at the Engage booth this week. That is something that's coming up. We also are going to be having our foster care stuff coming up pretty soon towards November. So you can be on the lookouts for that. Mm-hmm. And then mission trips. Parker will be talking about mission trips as well coming up this summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So hopefully Lord willing, a trip to Bogota for families in August. Do you know the week of that yet, Billy?
Not yet. Nothing's verified yet.
And then hopefully a high school domestic mission trip with Apex.
Wow.
Organization my wife and I have worked with. And so. Mm-hmm.
Which is for high school.
For high school. Yeah, high school students.
Do you know where that location is yet, or still working on that?
No, we're still working through that.
Okay. Yeah.
Awesome. And then hopefully more trips to come in the coming months and years, especially as we start to choose some mission sites to more thoroughly invest in and in giving and in short-term trips, and then hopefully even in sending long-term missionaries out of our church to those sites. That those would be that'd be the goal and the hope to not just send money and short-term people, but let's send some people. Mm-hmm. Let's send some people to help these workers in the long-term effort. And so there'll be many more trips down the line.
Yep.
That's exciting.
Yeah, a lot of vision trips. And another cool thing too that's Parker will talk a little bit about on Sunday is we're actually looking for some more board members for missions. That's an application process and stuff. So you can reach out to me if you're interested in that. We would love to have more ladies on the board as well too. So not saying that if you're a guy and you have an interest, you can't be on there, but we'd love to talk to you if you're interested in being a missions.
Hey, Tammy, what do you do every one Monday night a month? You
wanna think about it. So you are, how many are on your team right now on your missions?
We, including me as the chair, there's 8.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And part of what you're doing too is really trying to focus down and decide where you're going to be. So you guys will be taking some trips together, won't you?
Yes, and this group specifically will be taking vision trips. On the docket, we're hoping to hit France just to see. We have 3 missionaries in France that we haven't seen in a very long time. We'd love to just love on them. Czech Republic will be probably that same trip because we could do 2 in one trip.
It's a twofer.
It's a twofer, yep. A hard one that we're really trying to figure out how we can do a vision trip is in the Congo to go see Rachel Balia, who is, and Gilbert, her husband, who are just rock stars. They're really doing some incredible work. But we'd love to get out there and see how more we could partner with them. Mm-hmm. And then Tokyo, Japan is an option, and so is Amman, Jordan.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And so one of the rules for all of our trips is that we stop at a Chick-fil-A on the way. And so
if you love Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, come on a trip with us.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do love Chick-fil-A. You don't love Chick-fil-A, do you?
I like Chick-fil-A. You like, okay. Zaxby's is better, though. I don't know if you've ever had
Zaxby's. We don't stop at Zaxby's.
Oh, well, it has been fun doing this with you guys. I pray that we as a church catch your passion and vision and engage. I know I was really challenged by your sermon, Billy, when you said, when do we have the mission field coming to us? And so the fact that we live so close to the base and that there are people from another culture that probably don't know Jesus and we do, that's exciting.
So. Yeah, absolutely. I can almost tell you 99% of the Afghan refugees probably don't don't know much about Jesus. Mm-hmm. And if they do, they definitely don't believe in him as Lord and Savior.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you. Thanks for joining me, you two, today. And thank you. Have a great week. Bye-bye.